Tonight we're going to meet the 10 finalists in this year's RTE Eye on Nature Wildlife Photography Competition. Our third year on the go in association with the National Botanic Gardens at Glasnevin and the Office of Public Works. The winner will be announced next Friday on Nationwide on RTE One Television. They're celebrating 30 years this year and they are our media partner for this year's event. You can see the finalists in all their glory in the National Botanic Gardens for the next few weeks. So if you happen to be in and around the area, do pop in. But let's talk to one of the judges who happens to be one of the regular panelists on Mooney Goes Wild to get the lowdown on how they came to the final 10. And that is Mr. Niall Hatch. So not a huge entry again this year, I believe.
Well, Derek, it was really amazing. Over 2,000 entries that came in, but it's not just about the quantity, it's the quality. I tell you, the judging was a very, very difficult decision, probably the toughest I've seen since the competition first began, because the quality of photographers across Ireland celebrating our wildlife is absolutely phenomenal. So it was a very hard choice.
And not all professionals, but very professional in their approach to this competition.
Well, that's exactly what it takes. You're not going to win this competition unless you do take that professional approach. And it's not all about photographic technique, although that is vital. You also need to understand your subject. So particularly when you're trying to take a photograph of some sort of an animal that will move, you have to be aware about disturbing it, how to get in its best light, how to get natural behaviour. And when you're looking at it through the eyes of a wildlife expert who's judging it, I'm always looking for that natural behaviour. I can tell when an animal has been frightened.
I mean, can you though, Niall?
In most cases, yes. If it's paying too much close attention to the photographer or to the camera, you can tell if it's looking right down the barrel of the lens. In some cases, that's not necessarily a problem. Some animals like foxes, for example, are very curious. They will react in that way. One of the telltale ones with birds, I often see pictures of geese or seabirds, for example, and they're walking away from the camera with looking back over their shoulders. That's a clear sign that they're trying to get away from the photographer. And there's certain things you're looking for as well. When you see, for example, photographs taken at a seabird colony, you're very closely looking for any signs of disturbance, because birds will behave in a way that can be quite unnatural, but they don't show distress in the same way that we would. They often show up by being very quiet or waiting around. So we keep a keen eye out for that. And there's very strict requirements around the obtaining of licenses from the National Parks and Wildlife Service for birds in certain areas, that kind of thing. And we're really stringent about that.
And just to remind listeners, and those of you who submitted a photograph, that Niall and the rest of the judges, Matthew Jebb and
Sheena Jolly,
who's a professional photographer based in Cork, do not know who has sent in the pictures. They don't know the name, they don't know the sex of the person, they don't know the age of the person, only that they should be over 18 to enter the competition, and that's all they know, and that the picture should have been taken on the island of Ireland. How does that work?
So it's very carefully monitored, and that's absolutely right. The pictures, when we get them as the judges, they're completely anonymous. So what happens is, when people submit their entry, and it's just one entry per person, so that's very strictly enforced as well, the production team go through those photographs, and they are aware of all the people's contact details, but they strip all of that out. They anonymize the names of the photographic files as well. So we just get files with a number, and then we use a scoring sheet, an Excel spreadsheet, to score those. We then debate them among the three of us, and all the time we're referring to the number of the file. Then we go back to the production team and say, here are our selection, our shortlist for the most, what we think are the most worthy potential winners to go forward. And then they do background checks on those to make absolutely sure that everything is above board and in compliance with the rules. So they then will contact all of those entrants personally. They will find out the details. They ask them to give them the background to how the photograph was taken, where it was taken, when it was taken. We also check the metadata from the photograph as well. So there's actually quite a few people who enter the competition, but their photographs are actually taken several years ago. And that unfortunately disqualifies.
Because there is a time frame.
There's a time frame, absolutely. So they had to be taken within that time frame. Yeah, and that's also, we have to, you know, we set the rules.
Sorry about that.
So I think that, people should rest assured that we go to great lengths to make sure that
we do our best.
We do our best, yeah.
So far as possible. Anyway, 10 wonderful finalists, all deserving of a place on the boards at the National Botanic Gardens. You can pop in from tomorrow and see them. And then the winner will be announced on Nationwide Television with Anne Casson and Blondinny Coffey and myself next Friday night on RTE One Television. And happy birthday to everybody on Nationwide celebrating 30 years. Right now, it's time to meet the 10 finalists in this year's RTE Eye on Nature Wildlife Photography Competition. And in no particular order, we start with Pretty Vixen a photograph of a female fox taken by Aisling Byrne in Rathfarnham.
Great, thank you so much. Well, I'm so excited to have gotten through, and I absolutely love the competition. I'm a huge fan. I've been photographing this family of foxes since 2018. So this vixen is now 5 years old. And I took this image last year on the 2nd of July at just after 6 o'clock in the morning. I visit this family a couple of times every week. And on this particular morning, I was lying on my belly, and there's a pathway and a road behind where I photograph her. And joggers and dog walkers do be up early and are going by. And on this occasion, she was having a good look at a lady going by with her dog and making sure the dog was on the lead and not going to run over and scare her. And she was just on full alert and pricked up her ears. And I was just so lucky to have been just there at the right time to get this image.
Our next photograph, Signs of Spring, is of two frogs and frog spawn, taken by Edward Delaney in New Ross in County Wexford.
Yeah, to take it now, I had to put the camera down into water level by putting it on one of the shelves in the pond. And that means that the lens actually was coming out at water level from this container I had. So I was able to photograph the frogs from their level. And using a remote control, I could watch what the frogs were doing.
So excuse my ignorance now, did you take it during the day or at night time?
Oh, during the day, yeah. They're very active early in the morning, and I was able to manage that. But I had to do it remotely, because if you move near the pond, they all dive.
They disappear, of course. They don't like to see a big predator like you coming along.
Oh, well, I don't eat frogs' legs, I'm afraid.
Well, they didn't know that. And what kind of camera did you use?
Oh, my normal is a Nikon camera with the 300mm lens. I wanted to put a long lens on so to blur the background. I used a remote control then to trigger the camera, and I was watching from the kitchen.
Now, can you describe for the listeners the composition of the photograph?
The male was probably sitting on the frog spawn, and possibly the female looking on. It's hard to tell with them, but they stayed like that for a few seconds until I captured the image.
Our next image is of a red mason bee taken by Philip Greaves in his backyard in Clonmel.
Hi Derek, my name's Philip Greaves and I'm an amateur photographer, and I've been taking photographs around 45 years. Until COVID hit in 2020, I used to take mainly landscape photography. But during lockdown and only being able to go into the garden, I started taking interest in the smaller things around us, like insects, butterflies, and of course, bees. I noticed that a bee was making its home in the hole in the wall. And after some research, I discovered that it was a solitary bee, which I've never really taken any notice of before. And that's when my adventures into macro photography started. I quickly made a bee hotel out of an old bird nesting box, and I filled this with garden canes cut up and cardboard tubes. And within a day or so, I had some new residents into the tubes. The photo I submitted for the competition is a female red mason bee, and she's carrying a mud pellet in her mandibles to seal up the end of the nesting tube. She's probably laid about 8 little grubs in there, and they're all surrounded by pollen, and they will actually grow over the next 12 months before they emerge. I watched the bee work on this nesting tube for about 3 days, and it took about 150 pictures, and this one was the best result I got. The camera I used was my old Nikon D5200 and a Sigma macro lens with a tripod and flash.
Cleanliness is next to godliness is the title of this next photograph of a hare in Maru, County Limerick, taken by Daniel Meehan.
One morning I was out with my camera and I was just sitting in the shade, actually, because it was a beautiful summer morning. It was like this time last year nearly, and this hare kind of rocked up beside me, didn't seem to notice me or take any interest in me, and just doing a little kind of a cleaning cycle, maybe is how you describe it. Started pulling the ears down and kind of just cleaning himself or herself. And I just very lucky to have the camera with me, and it was sort of just took a series of photos, and the one that I shared with you then was the one I kind of was the happiest with, in a sense. It's very low to the ground, very across from the eye line of the animal. And just because I was shooting from the side and not from the front, you could see the full profile of the hair. If you were to silhouette that, say, if you were to make it a black and white image, you'd still know it was a hair. You'd still understand the shape of it. And I liked that a lot about it as well, yeah. It was just really nice to watch and to see as well. Like, it wasn't just about the picture, obviously. It was very interesting to see the hair in kind of a very relaxed state, sort of not really bothered by me and, you know, just doing what it normally does without any kind of fear or uncertainty about its surroundings. It was just a really nice experience.
Tristan Bain's photograph is titled Male Fox in Raven Hill. And believe it or not, this is the third year in a row Tristan has made it to the final.
So this is a photo of a young male fox backlit by the rising sun, which creates a distinctive outline of bright illuminated fur around him. And he has paused momentarily to stare intently at something just to my right. Now, normally, they would walk right past without stopping, but on this occasion, he noticed a grey squirrel up on the beech tree directly over my head, and he loves chasing squirrels, although he had no luck on this occasion. And it was taken around 7 a.m. in April last year from the bottom of my garden on a very rare sunny day in Belfast. Now, I'm lucky to have had multiple generations of a fox family living in a small wooded area on private grounds directly behind my house, and I've been photographing them regularly since the start of the pandemic in 2020. Now, I always knew they were there, but I never had the time needed to focus on getting images of them, as they're very wary of humans. I mean, they'll run a mile if they spot you, and they're mostly nocturnal. So that leaves the only opportunity to photograph them being in the very early morning, just after sunrise while everyone's asleep. And thankfully, I'm a very early riser. I'm out there at sunrise regardless of the time of year. And in the early days, I spent my morning sitting under a tarpaulin in an upturned bucket. But I've since upgraded to a small wooden hut that I use as a hide. And while I'm in the hide, I'm hidden behind camouflage, so they can't see me. And they're more likely to act naturally, not constantly staring at the camera or me. And it's taken a long time, but they're now used to my smell and are more tolerant of my presence there. And finally, why did I choose this particular image? Well, there's a short story behind that. This is my fourth year photographing them, and in that time I've taken thousands of images of 12 individual foxes. But I chose this photo of this particular fox because it's not his first time on RTE. He was actually a finalist in Eye on Nature back in 21, with an image of him taken in 2020 when he was only a cub, around 4 months old. And what I didn't realise when I took this photo was that he was actually recently a father for the first time himself, with a son back in the den, who I finally got to meet about 4 weeks later when he ventured out into the world for the first time. And in fact, this guy has recently become a dad for the second time. So I reckon maybe next year I'll enter an image of one of his kids into the competition.
Sabre Wasp Laying Its Eggs is the title of this next photograph, taken by Andrew Malcolm near Lismore in County Waterford.
It was an exciting kind of late summer, beginning of autumn, when I discovered a procession of these incredible wasps that were landing on tree logs that we had a big storm, and the spruce trees had been blown down, and the wasps were landing on them, laying eggs into the trunk of the tree, which was a remarkable feat on its own. And they're laying their eggs on another wasp, which has got its larva embedded in the wood. And so they're sort of walking, they were walking around the logs, searching for them. And I just managed to get this picture. It was just a kind of a nice kind of tableau, really, with the wasp and the tree trunk and the Knockmildown Mountains in the background. But it's a big creature. It's 80 millimetres long, including its ovipositor. So it's a big girl. I have the wasp kind of bottom left-hand corner laying her eggs. She's just starting to drill the hole into the tree trunk. They're very photogenic, very easy to photograph when they're in that position because they're really focused on what they're doing. I was able to get fairly close and get a bit of depth of view into the picture, which I wanted to do for that particular shot. And she was just starting to lay her eggs, and she could be there for half an hour, sometimes drilling into the log. It's just an amazing thing to be able to witness, and I was absolutely delighted that I managed to get a shot of it that I was happy with.
Paul Campbell's photograph, Coot Feeding, was taken in Bushy Park in Dublin.
a photograph of a cool feeling, a chick that I actually got in a pond in Bushy Park one Saturday morning. What made me put it into the competition was I just looked like the way the little chick is looking up at either the mother or the father, I'm not quite sure, and the mother, and the way the mother looks back at it, it just kind of, there's a connection between the two of them that just kind of said, I thought it was nice, so I said it, I put it in. I actually used a camera, a DSLR, like a Canon 7D with a 100 to 400 lens on the camera. Believe it or not, that's, I made a little unit called a ground pod out of an old frying pan where I can actually mount the camera, so I get down at eye level, because I was told before that it's always good to, when you get down level with the board or the animal, you kind of get into their world. The colours of the little chick looking up at the mother, it's they're kind of probably ugly pretty, I don't know what the way to describe, but they're an unusual little coot chick, and the mother or the father looking down on top of the, on, at the board is just special. Probably with the backdrop of the reeds and all on the lake and the colour of the water, kind of, I think it made it a little bit, made it special. Well, special for me, it was a lovely little moment to capture, you know.
This next photograph was also taken in Bushy Park in Dublin. It's titled Mute Swan Family by Patrika Bratilla.
I took the picture last year in May in Bushy Park in Terry Neuer. I went there especially to take a few shots of the cygnets because I knew the mute swans have little babies. And luckily, I catch them when they are getting out from their bulrush. And I was there to capture the moment. The photograph shows a mute swan with her little cygnets looking towards me. And you can also see in the picture just a little bit of habitat they live in. So I like it very much, and this was in fact a very big surprise for me because it was very well received since I first posted it on Facebook, and this is what made me to choose this picture for this competition.
Flying Hare is the title of a photograph taken by Thomas MacDonald on Rathlin Island.
It was one lovely April evening. I thought to myself, the light's good. I'm going to head out here before the light drops below the horizon. And I knew that there was a group of hares knocking about, sort of area where I knew there was a group of hares knocking about. So I've eventually found them. And then I started to stalk them. So I was on my knees and my elbows and crawling with the camera and trying to get over a little hump, a little ridge to view them, to see what they were doing. And then all of a sudden, out of my peripheral vision, this other hare came across at fairly high speed. And as he passed in front of me, so I had to sort of get up onto my knees and get myself back a wee bit, get the camera around and try to get the shot of the hare. So I got a sequence of the hare coming across me, on the ground and off the ground, you know, flying basically. So that's what happened when I got the picture of it. When I looked back at the pictures, and then I seen the one that he was in the mid-air, so that was the one I chose. Normally, when I take a lot of pictures of hares or birds or anything that I'm doing, you would look back through them and pick one out that you think, for me, you know, that was the best one of the sequence. So as I went through them, like, they were all fairly good, sharp, good light and all the rest of it, but just because that was in mid-flight and quite a rare thing to photograph as they're up in the air like that, I thought to myself, that's the one I want there.
And finally, a picture simply called Badger, taken by Carl Graith in County Clare.
There's a stream close to my house here in Meelik, County Clare. It's a nice part, quiet part of the country, with allotted wooded area around. On the stream is a small bridge across it, and I knew there was badgers using it. So one evening, I set up my camera with a fill-in flash overhead because it was just starting to get dark, and just to light the area when the badger came. Waited about half an hour and along came the badger. He was having a sniff around and I took the picture. And what I like about this picture is the colour, the greenery, the ivy and its setting, and the badger, very clean looking badger. having a nose around for food. And that's it then. Thank you.
So there they are, the 10 finalists in this year's RTE Eye on Nature Wildlife Photography Competition.